Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. It's a bright, sunshiny morning. Share with you a little incident last week. It was kind of interesting to me and kind of amusing to me also. Robert worked on my laptop last week. And so I called him when I was here one day, Thursday, I think, or something. I told him I was passing by. So he meets me in his driveway with my laptop, and he says, "I will email you the password." And I never thought too much about it. I said, "Okay." And so I'm going down the road, and I thought, "Why didn't he just tell me?" So I get home that night and so forth, and open up my email, and there's no password. So I get my laptop that he'd worked on, and open it up, and I put in there a couple words. Well, you know, if you misspell your password or whatever, it comes up with a hint. So it says wrong password, and here's the hint: God's love. And I thought, he's toying with me now. He didn't call me. He wants me to guess. Figure this out. And he probably said he ought to be able to do it. So I started thinking everything about God's love. Forever, I put it, no. Eternal, no. Just kept coming back. Everything I could think about God's love, I'd type in there and come back. It says, hint, God's love. So I emailed Robert. I said, "Robert, what's the password?" And I could almost hear him, "You dummy. It's God's love." He didn't type that, but he told me. So I type in God's love, and up comes Clint Solver. So this morning, for you to get that which you desire from God, your password is God's love. God loves you, that's for sure. So we do that. Now, last week we announced that we were going to, as you voted for the fellows to fill the offices here, that we were going to ordain them today. And Keith is not here, but we're going to go on and ordain Robert and Virgil this morning to their offices. And we'll do that right now. And so to you brothers and sisters in Christ that make up the Lord's church here at Porter, we now come to ordain these men, Virgil and Robert, that have been set aside by the elders and that you have voted on and accepted here to be a deacon and an elder of the Porter Christian Church. As we do, we pray that what is done here today will be acceptable and pleasing to our great God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it will be for the edification of the church. So as we proceed, if you two fellas, Virgil, if you will come, And Robert, if you'll stand here, I'll give you a charge, as they call it, charge you with your position here. And then we will have the elders will come then and pray over you and lay hands on you. And so I charge you, Virgil Marshall and Robert Engel, will you faithfully exercise yourself in the Holy Scriptures and call upon God by prayer for the true understanding of the same, so that you may be able by them to teach and to exhort with wholesome doctrine and withstand and convince the gainsayer? Will you, with all faithful diligence, banish and drive away from this church all erroneous and strange doctrines contrary to God's word, and both privately and openly to call upon others and encourage them to do likewise? Will you deny all ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, that you may show yourself in all things an example of good works unto others, and the adversary may be ashamed, having nothing to say against you? Will you maintain and set forward as much as shall lie in you quietness, love, peace among all men, and diligently exercise such discipline as by the authority of God, God's word, and by order of his church that has committed to you? Will you show yourself gentle, merciful, for Christ's sake, to the poor and needy people, and to all strangers, despite destitute of help? Virgil, do you accept that charge?
Yes, sir. With the mercy and the grace of the Lord, I will.
Okay. Robert?
I will do so by the help of God.
Amen. Now, if the elders will go, and if you fellows will turn there and face and kneel down. That's usually the practice. Amen. Now, if all you folks will stand with me, we'll have a prayer, another prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have provided these faithful and gifted men to serve as elders and deacons. As these new office bearers assume their responsibility, fill them with the Spirit, endow them with their wisdom, and grant them strength, Almighty God. Make them faithful workers in your vineyard. Under the guidance, may your church grow in ever spiritual grace and faith, which is open and unashamed, and in the committed service that promotes your reign in the world. Help them to perform their duties, Almighty God, with enthusiasm, with humility. In their work, grant them a sense of sustained awe, which is rooted in daily adoration of you, Almighty God. Through them, may your name be honored and your church be served well. We pray and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
For hymn and worship, we use number 2, singing the first and last verse, and I'll have the prayer. That's all, man. Through And hear thy word proclaimed. Thou goest us through the further exercise of the service. Guard, guide, and direct us, and save us in the ends our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now for communion, you'll be using number 157, first and last verse. On a hill.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful, dear Heavenly Father, you provide for us. You promises in your word, and we, Heavenly Father, are so thankful that you're a God that keeps your promises, and you do it well. You promise to supply our needs. You have done that, dear God, and we have overabundance of the things that you supply us with, and so we bring a portion of that back, Heavenly Father, to be used here at this church to carry out the activities. And so, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for those who give so generously and so kindly. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this offering, that it be used in a great way for the kingdom here at Porter. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one birthday to recognize here this morning. I see two on there. Lola Sims has a birthday the 20th. And Matthew back there, he's going to get a little bit older here. He's getting to be quite a guy he is. And that's next Saturday, isn't it? Next Saturday. Well, happy birthday to you, Matthew. Matthew, how old will you be?
20.
Great. Quite a young man. We appreciate you, Matthew, so much. Okay, what else taking place here? Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock. If you want to be in our Bible study, please come. If you want a list, how many of you would like to have a list of the 7 promises to live by daily? And we're going to go further. And if you do, we'll come tonight at 5 o'clock and we'll give you one. We've got a list for everybody. Okay. Then remember and be praying for, week after next, we'll be into a 3-day service, Friday night and Sunday morning, and 2 services, sunrise service and regular service. So be a praying for about that. Be encouraging others to come. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, and I know sometimes you're a little reluctant to just go out and ask somebody to come and to church and so forth, but special times like Resurrection Weekend, we're all called Easter, that's a good time to encourage somebody. Say, come and go with us and celebrate, you know, the resurrection of the Lord, or however you might want to put it. So it's not an embarrassing time to ask. It's actually a good time, because people expect you to ask them to be in the Lord's services at those times, at Christmas time and Easter time. If there's only 2 times that they expect you to ask them, it would be those 2 times. And maybe you just don't know who is waiting for you to ask them. And that might be the starting of a new life for them, and it'll be a blessing for you. So encourage others to prepare and come and be a part of that. We haven't got it all put together yet, but we just pray the Lord it'll be good for us. No further announcements, then let's turn to our prayer list. We have a number of things to share with you there. Keith and Kim are not here. It's not because they're ill. They, as you remember, the twins that were born, well, the boy twin died and passed away, I think, on Monday it was. And so they're gone now today, and they're having that funeral for them. And so be in prayer for them. And let's see, who else is on here that we want to make mention? There's Pauline. We're glad to see you here this morning. Pauline, you know, what is it? You have little faith. You know, I thought Pauline might be maybe more bound to home, but she was here last week. She's here this week, and we're so glad that you are, and we hope that you continue to be here. Hope things will come be better and better for you as days go along. And everyone else on our prayer list, as far as we know, we haven't got any reports back this morning from any of them, so we assume that things are working and things are going as well as they was. And who else? The Harper family. William Harper died this past week, so be in prayer for his family, for the leaders of our nation, and all the turmoil that's taking place. Be in prayer for that. Be in prayer against Satan and all his evil works. Be in prayer for the service people away from home, holding the grounds for us to be able to come here this morning and practice freely our faith. Be in prayer for each other. Guys, just pray one for another, and you know the needs, then you folks know the needs of these people on the prayer list. We've shared that with you time after time, and you know, most of you know each other well enough that you recognize some of the needs, if not all the needs in their lives, and so pray one for another. The scriptures teaches us very strongly to do that. Be concerned about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be concerned about those in the community and those who operate in the offices of leading this nation and protecting this nation. So, and then those folks that are in care homes, those people that can't care for themselves, I think of them so much. I don't know. I'm ashamed of myself. We as a church are not doing enough to our share. I have to say that in a kind of way that we're not doing our share to minister to those people who are shut in and confined to the home and has to have somebody else to wait on them. And but you do a good job, and I appreciate you very much. You do make phone calls, you do send letters, and some of you do visit, and that's good. So let's support them in any way we can. Yeah, I just hate to think. You know, Maxie and I were talking at the table here the other night. You know, and we know of a friend of ours. She's going to have to go now. They're making preparations for her to go into a care home, leave her house, and go into a care home. And so many that we know like that, and we just prayed that, you know, Lord, help us to stay well until you call us home or the Lord comes, you know. I think about when we visit the care homes and stuff that, you know, it must be very sad for many of those people that are in there, probably all of them, because they can't get up, they can't go home, they can't go outside, they can't do like what you and I can, you know. And so at least we can pray for them. And anything that you can do that might encourage them, make their day a little bit brighter, well, please do that if you will. All right. As we come to our prayer time, while be in prayer for those mentioned.
For prayer, him use number 96, saying that first and fourth verse, and Google will have a prayer. Let's all stand. The invitation hymn be number 348. At this time, the choir will bring a special.
Thank you, choir, and Kathleen. Isn't it good to see Kathleen back today? Well, we missed you last week. She told me a while ago she had her headache for this week, Thursday.
Yesterday.
It was yesterday or Thursday.
Yesterday.
Anyhow, we just don't want you having no more of those headaches now, kiddo. We miss you so much. I guess it's fair you can change your mind sometimes, can't you? You ever do that, you know, and... No, Doodle says no. So, but you know, I had thought about the challenge to the church, and then as I was doing it, I thought, well, I'll wait till next week and do it. But I think these guys deserve to hear your challenge too, and so I'm going to challenge this church body here this morning also, and because you have elected these guys to serve before you, and so here's your challenge, church. And if you will, if you'll just answer, and we don't expect you to do that on yourself, you know, you can answer as these gentlemen did, you know, I will do so with the help of God. And so here's the challenge. As your minister, I charge you as God's people to receive Virgil Marshall and Robert Engle as Christ's gift, and I say as Christ's gifts to the Porter Church, to recognize them, the Lord's provisions for a healthy congregational life, to hold them in honor and to take their counsel seriously, respond to them with obedience and respect, accept their help and thanks, sustain them in prayer and encourage them with your support, especially when they feel the burden of their office, and acknowledge them as the Lord's servants among you. Church family, as you have pledged and to receive them as you have been charged, you may answer. Will you do that? Okay, all right. So, thank you. We're so blessed to have good fellows to be able to lead the church. Thank you for that. Okay, we're in Luke chapter 9. I think it's in your bulletin there. And verses 51 through 56. And they read like this. I'll find it here. And it came to pass when the time was come that he, speaking of Jesus, he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will they that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did? We have a scene here, and Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. And it says here that, and it came to pass, the time was come, he should be received up. Now, I know you probably have read and probably have heard some of them preach on that meaning that he would go back to heaven, but that really doesn't mean that there. What that is talking about, it's time for him to be received into the wicked hands and raised up on the cross. That's where he's headed. Now, if you went from Galilee, and as you back up in the scripture there, you'll find out that they're in Galilee right now. Where we're reading that, they're in Galilee. They're headed for Jerusalem. See, it says he has set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's a three-day journey. But as we calculate the time of Jesus from this passage till he gets to Jerusalem is 6 months. He spends 6 months going through the little areas there, little towns, on the way to Jerusalem. Could have got there in 3 days going straight, but he spent 6 months. So 6 months now from this reading that we read until the time he'll be in Jerusalem. He did that going forth to little towns. And some might say, well, you know, he's delaying time, you know. Hey, listen, if you were faced with what he was faced with, he knew what he was going to be faced with. He knew he was going to Jerusalem. He knew he was going to die. He knew they was going to put him to the cross. They knew that he was going to beat him and spit upon him and all that treacherous things to him. He knew what was there. But no, he didn't delay his going just because of that cross. In fact, you know, the scripture says that he joyfully submitted himself to that. He counted it joy to go there in your place and my place. And so he wasn't reneging. I think the reason that Jesus went to the little cities is the same reason he's delaying time right now. The reason I believe that Jesus spent 6 months on the journey to Jerusalem when he could have went there in 3 days is the fact he wanted to reach as many people as he could. He wanted the most people that he could, most people hear about God's love. He wanted as many as he could reach to understand God's love for them and what's happening, going to happen there. And it says they rejected him. Rejection is really hard, isn't it? You know, if you've ever been rejected, it's hard. And I know in my younger days, when I was just a boy, one time I was a little boy, and because of our family and people looked upon us because we had so many children in our family and so forth, and they kind of looked down on us and they rejected so forth. And that's hard. When somebody rejects you, it's really hard, isn't it? But it says this, they went to the cities of Samaria there. They rejected them. Now, I don't believe they rejected Jesus because of who he was. I'm quite convinced that they must have heard about Jesus. Surely they had heard about his miracles, where he had healed the sick. He had opened blind eyes. He had given hearing to deaf. He had made the lame to walk. I'm sure they had heard that. And I'm sure that they had people in their community that needed some of that. Why did they reject Jesus? Here's the reason I believe they rejected Jesus, because the clue is in there. Jesus had set his face on going to Jerusalem. And you see, there was such a difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. There was hatred there. And if you remember when we did the king's thing and talked about back here a while back when Daniel and so forth, we had the list of the kings, and Rehoboam was took the two tribes, and Jeroboam, which wasn't a son of Solomon, it was a servant, he took the others. And so Jeroboam, he set up high places. And he put idols there, made carved idols and so forth for the people to worship. And if you remember, the reason he did that, he didn't want them to go to Jerusalem. Because these were the 10 tribes. He didn't want them to go to Jerusalem because he figured if they went to Jerusalem and worshiped the temple, they might get back in cahoots Rehoboam and join then Rehoboam, whom God was blessing right well. Well, the Samaritans, see, they were part of this over here. If you remember that in chapter 4 of the book of John, which is recorded after, came after this, we had Jesus meeting the lady at the well. And if you remember the conversation, and she said to Jesus, she said, "I perceive that you are a prophet," because she was telling him. He was telling her things that she didn't think anybody much knew. And she figured this Jew, this stranger here, didn't know her and didn't know, but he's telling her things about her life. And she said, "I perceive that you're a prophet." Now here, and I don't believe they didn't receive him because he was a Jew. But here's what she said to him. "You say Jerusalem is the place to worship. Our father says these mountains is the place to worship." So the real odds was this. You got it, haven't you? Difference in a place to worship. And they knew that Jesus was set to go to Jerusalem. and they rejected him. Rejection is hard. I can't understand why they would reject him, because I know that they knew somewhat about Jesus. But today I don't understand really how people really reject Jesus. I have been to many homes in this community and invited people to come to know Jesus. They really didn't reject me. And they didn't really reject you as you went, and you have done the same thing. They rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus. You see, rejection is hard. And it really, I don't know about you, but when I tell someone, you know, when I get the opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, and they reject that's sad. That my heart hurts. It really does. Because you see, they're not rejecting me, and that wouldn't bother me so much if they rejected me, but they're rejecting my Jesus. They're rejecting one who could help them, one that can heal them, one who can mend their broken heart, men who can put lives back together, a man who can just perform all sorts of things. You know, people in this world need Jesus, and they need a Savior. We're lost. We're sinners on the way to hell without Jesus. And I'm looking at a person, and I realize they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Jesus, and they're missing out on all that. Doesn't it, you fellas? I mean, Doodle and Omer and some of us has been together out calling, and we've invited people, and they never come. And they're, you know, even though they say they will come, and I wish they wouldn't say, if they're not going to come, just say, I'm not going to come. But nevertheless, they reject. They really don't reject us. In fact, we're oftentimes welcomed into the house. They come on in and sit down. But they reject Jesus. How can, you know, and so it really does. When I walk away, when I get back in my car, realizing they have rejected Jesus, it actually breaks my heart. Simply because, you see, I look at you people, and I know what God does for you. And I know the hope that you have through Jesus. And I know the promises. Even we're studying the promises now, and I knew promises, and I know more promises now than I knew then. And all the promises that God has for him, they come through Jesus Christ. God will not grant you a promise, but what they come, and what to say, they're all through the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, through God's glory, through Jesus Christ. So every promise that's in the scripture is through Jesus Christ. And yeah, people want God's promise. They want his promise to supply all my needs, you know. They want him to work all things together for good. Oh, they just want all those promises. But they reject Jesus. I believe James and John, and that's who the two that were sent out to these little towns, to encourage and to set up for Jesus' coming. You know, that's what was needed. People had to go forth and they warned people, Jesus is coming. And the reason they did, they wanted people to make preparations to be there, you know. You know, the Lord blesses this congregation. The Lord's presence is here today. And we'd like to have the whole community here today so that they could be in the presence of the Lord. Don't you go home blessed? Amen. I hope you do. I hope when you go out that door and you get in your car, you know, as we studied this morning, as they left the dedication of the Temple of Solomon, and they was there and they just praised God and they worshiped God, and they left to go back on home. They went back rejoicing. And I just hope that everybody from this congregation can go out that door, get in their car, and go down the driveway there with joy. They have been in the presence of the Lord. I would that everybody in this community could feel that. I wish they could. Everybody in this community could be here with you folks in this place and feel the presence of the Lord. And I wish they could hear what God has for them. God has so much. God has so much for us. I mean, his promises are true. And we study, we know they're sure. And I could ask any of our Sunday night people, and they could tell you how they know they're sure. They're sure of God's promises. You know, God can't lie, can he? Amen. They're sure, and they're good, and you can depend upon them. They're yours to take, but they rejected. I'm sure that James and John's hearts were broken when they walked out of the city and people had rejected. Not them. They had rejected Jesus because he's going to Jerusalem. He's a part of them. And you know, there's people that reject our worship. There's people that wouldn't participate us. And there's people out there that I won't participate with. So there is a little thing about difference in worship. Who, how we worship, what we do in our worship and so forth, there is a difference. But I'm convinced that James and John were really saddened. In fact, would you say they got a little angry? You know, I've never got that angry yet. You know, but I can visualize James and John, and they're walking out of the city, and they said, you know, these people just don't understand what the Lord has for them. He just touches somebody and makes them well. He speaks and they open their eyes. And he tells a man to get off his bed. And these people just don't know what they're missing out on. And they get to Jesus and say, Lord, you want us to call fire down from heaven and this is soil? I mean, boy, they were like Elisha did. And you know what happened there? Boy, they were pretty put out with them, weren't they? You bite your tongue sometimes when you leave somebody's house, you know. You don't want to fall far down on them. But, you know, I mean this expression in a good way now. But I heard a preacher one time say, you know, sometimes you just got to knock the hell out of people to get them away from hell. You know, and so that's what James and John were doing, weren't they? They were saying, God, do something drastic. Make these people realize. I don't know what else we could do. You know, I know we don't want drastic measures, you know. But sometimes you feel like it, don't you? You know, wake up, man. Wake up, lady. Don't you know what Jesus has for you? Don't you know the new life that can come? Don't you know that the joy you can have in his presence? Don't you know the things that he's got in store for you? Yeah, it's tough to be rejected. But that's what took place here. He's going to the cross. And if we backed up a few verses here, in Luke 9 and 22, and we will see here Jesus is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die. I'm going to face the cross there. I'm going to suffer the cross. 22. Here's what he said in verse 22, chapter 9, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. And boy, when you study the life of Jesus, and you see, you know, the cross is not all that Jesus suffered. You know, I'm sure that the heart of Jesus bled. He went to his hometown and they didn't receive him. He was rejected. Wouldn't that hurt? And as Jesus went forth and they wanted to stone him to death, they rejected him. I mean, what was Jesus thinking, you think? But here's what he still has in his mind. Those people who wanted to catch me up and take me out and throw me over a cliff, that's recorded in the scripture that they did. They wanted to stone him to death. Here's what he says. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests, even to the religious group of Jerusalem. The elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die for mankind. And I'll be raised the third day. He told them that over and over and over and over. They really didn't grasp that. People just couldn't grasp that. I really believe, you know, I don't believe that Jesus in his rejection and so forth was killing time and so forth. I believe he was trying to get as many people. And I really believe today, and this is a grand time for this church to work. This is a grand time of the year for you to encourage people to come to know Jesus, the one who went to Calvary's cross for them. This, what the world calls Easter time. You know, people will be a little more subject to that. They will be a little more open to your message. And if you ever want to do any witnessing, do it now. It's time. The time is ripe. There'll be more people will listen to you during Easter and Christmas than any time in a year. So do it now. I believe that Jesus is delayed coming. He's given this church and all believers time to get to those who we would like to see saved, and that's everybody that we meet. Wouldn't you just love to see the whole world saved? Jesus really come to mankind, and he came to save all humanity. As we think about this season that we're in here, verse 56 says, Jesus said he didn't come to destroy man. He didn't come to destroy man. But he come to save. He says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. To bring life to those who are dead in their sins and trespasses. I didn't come to destroy the men's lives, but I came to save them. And I say to you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, I would that every man, woman, boy, and child, I would that they would realize, everyone of this community, everyone across the state, everyone across the great nation of America, and everyone around the world would come to know and realize, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy. You know, I came to save. I didn't come to destroy, you know. I came to save. So what do we see? The message is that Jesus is coming soon. And the only salvation we have is by the old rugged cross. We sung that twice this morning. I didn't know it was going to be on the bulletin when we opened up. But we could sing it over and over and over and over. It would be all right. That's the message, the old rugged cross. And as we said last week, there would have not been a resurrection if there had not been a cross. That cruel cross. So the message for today, the old rugged cross. Dear folks, let us cling to that old rugged cross. The old rugged cross makes a difference. That's what in the next song we had, you know, and you can sing that song. The old rugged cross makes a difference. And all friends, if they would just receive that Jesus of the cross, how much difference it would make their life. Those Samaritans really missed out on something. And there's people in the community. There's people in your work area. There's people in your school. People at college, Matt and Sierra, that need to know about Jesus. Need to know about the old rugged cross. Need to understand that that's the only hope that we have. How it makes a difference. Jesus went to Jerusalem to die a death of a cruel cross because he loved you and me. All out of love. As we said last week, that cross beams down. I love you. Jesus went to the cross saying, I love you. It was love for all humanity. The little, the big, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, He died there for each and every one. He died. Jesus tread the treacherous... I knew I wouldn't be able to say that when I wrote that down. Jesus tread the treacherous trail to Calvary. On the cross, the sinless Son died for sinful people like you and I. And we should have been crucified, but Jesus took our place. I love that old hymn, and I hum that quite often. Oh, it should have been me that suffered and died, but Jesus took my place and said, isn't that wonderful? Because of the cross, we now can sing, with his blood, he purchased me. On the cross, he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Folks, if you're not free from your sins, whom this Jesus went to Calvary's cross and shed his blood to cover them, if you're not free for them, we invite you to come today and receive him as your Savior. Go away rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we stand and sing the first verse only, stand with me if you will, please. Folks, we've been in the Lord's house, and I'm convinced that your week will be better because you've been in the Lord's house seeking Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and life. Might he bless you with blessings that you have never sought before. Might you receive a blessing from his hand that you never expected you'd ever receive this week as you go forth. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each person gathered here in this auditorium today, Heavenly Father. You have special blessings for each one, each and every one, dear God. We all have different needs in different ways, and we know, Heavenly Father, that are powerful enough and big enough and have enough to supply the needs of all the people. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that. So as we dismiss from this place, dear God, we ask that you would bless each one, grant them a safe week, grant them a great week. Heavenly Father, help us all to be assembled back here again next week if the Lord tarry. We pray in Jesus' name with thanks. Amen. Amen.